The Telegraph UK lists 19 reasons why tourists must travel to India. And every other travel website has at least 10. What are those? Stunning architecture, the Himalayas, gorgeous wildlife, fabulous food, wellness and yoga, beaches and waterways, warm and friendly people, religion and fairs. It's inexpensive and has the world's most famous building, that's the Taj Mahal. With so many reasons, let me add some more color to it. India has 35 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The best place in the world to see the majestic tiger with as many as 51 tiger reserves. The longest and unbroken experience of Himalayas in the world, 2400 kilometers long within India. Home to four religions in the world, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhs and Jains. Capital of yoga and Ayurveda. And do all this in a lot of comfort and style. Fantastic infrastructure and amazing hospitality. In today's podcast, let's dissect the travel to India, especially for the first timers looking to dip into the India experience.
Interesting. I am really proud of my beautiful country. Why should someone choose India? Guess that has already been answered very well by Sudeep. So let's get started with some more questions travelers coming to India for the first time may have. Like, what type of traveler, depending on the specific interest he or she may have, would prefer opting for India? Sudeep?
There is so much to see that I believe India has an incredible plate to offer to every traveler. Actually, there is so much that we have laid out specific themes which we would suggest to travelers based on their interest. From our experience, we find that travelers have different kind of experiences that they want to go through. And I list six of the major types here. First one is about mountains. So let me call it mountain sojourn. A typical good itinerary would be one gets down in Delhi, goes to the foothills at Rishikesh, and then through Chandigarh, goes to Manali, thereafter to Leh, then to Srinagar, do the circuit around Gulmarg and Pahalgam, and then get back to Delhi. There are many more circuits around the Himalayas, but this is just one example. The second circuit would be around people who would like forts and palaces and fascinating history. So call it a circuit around regal India. Again, start from Delhi, go down to Jaipur, then on to Jodhpur, then to Jaisalmer, come back to Jodhpur, go to Udaipur, do Agra and get back to Delhi. You will probably see the most important sites of Indian history in these. The third would be people who would want to experience India through their senses, by seeing, by eating, by looking around. So call it people who would want to go around heritage and food. And in that case, I would say start from Calcutta, go to Varanasi, then to Lucknow, then to Agra, and then yes, again, Delhi, Jaipur, before going down south to Goa and then Cochin, and you will be tasting all parts of India which are worth. Fourth, and I find a growing tribe of those people who are fascinated by wildlife. So the fourth type is people who would love wildlife. A typical itinerary there would be get on to Delhi from there, fly to Jabalpur, and then do the jungles of MP in Panna, in Bandhavgarh, in Kanha, in Penj, go down to Tadoba, Nagpur, and come back to Delhi. Again, we have so many more such circuits, but this is just to give an example. The fifth one, and I call it wellness, is around people who would want to use India as a place where they could improve themselves spiritually as well as in health. One such nice circuit would be south of India in Kerala, which is also called the Ayurveda capital of India. Start from Cochin, go to Munnar, go to Alappey, Kumarakom, and to the various centers in Trivandrum. Last, it's for people who have been there, done that, and have done the beaten path and now want to do offbeat travel destinations. So I call it Offbeat India, the sixth one. And I think northeast of India is a great example to be offbeat. One could start from Guwahati, go to Tawang in Arunachal, go to Zero, go to Kaziranga, then Shillong, then go to Dauki and Guwahati. You'll find these are pristine, untouched parts of India where infrastructure is still developing, but what you'll find there is raw freshness, which is what an offbeat person would be looking for. Now, these are the six different types, Homa, that I believe I could classify travelers into. And as I said, for every of these styles, there are a lot many more circuits or itineraries that one could go to. For example, if it is wildlife, then not just Delhi, even around Bangalore, you could start from Bangalore and go to Kabini, Bandipur, Masinagudi, Mudumalai and back to Bangalore. And you would have again seen a huge amount of wildlife there. So what I'm saying is India along these six lines can give you a lot of options to choose from and go make that first trip.
Wow. And I especially like the heritage and food trail itinerary, since it involves cuisines from different parts of India. So you get to experience different food and culture at the same time in this. But Sudeep, I think you have counted some 50 places in your suggestions, which could be a little overwhelming for first timers, isn't it? So why don't we make it simpler? If you were to handpick and curate a 2-week India trip, what would that be like?
Yeah, I was not surprised when a foodie picked up the heritage and food trail as a favorite one. But yeah, the question is valid. So there are so many choices that I think it's a great question to ask because there can be a lot of confusion. Before I say what I think could be a good 2-week trip, I would suggest that one shouldn't pack too much, but create an experience. So with that in mind, I will suggest the following. And listen carefully. Arrive in India by flying into New Delhi. Spend your first 2 days absorbing Delhi. Lots of things that it has to offer. History aside, Delhi has one of the best food scenes in India. On the second night of your arrival, which is from Delhi, travel into Agra over road. It's just about 3 hours by road and pretty nice ride. Spend 2 days there. Keep one night for visiting the Taj Mahal in moonlight, subject to dates and opening availability. On your fourth day evening, which is then from Agra, move away from there by road towards Corbett National Park, India's second largest park and beautifully set with a river flowing in between. If you can, pre-book the forest guest house inside the park at a place called Dhikala. But even if you can't, stay in one of the many charming resorts on the banks of the Ramganga River. Spend your fifth day taking safaris into Corbett National Park. Day 6, after morning safari and a hearty breakfast, proceed by road to the yoga and spirituality capital of India, which is Rishikesh. Spend 2 days along the banks of Holy Ganges and absorb what Hinduism is, interspersed with yoga and great yummy food. After there, on day 8, drive back into Delhi and catch a flight to the capital of Goa, Panjim. The capital is of the fun state of Goa. Arrive into Vagator, one of the best beaches in North Goa, and soak in the party vibe of beaches, pubs and disco. Spend 2 days with Portuguese architecture, Goan spirit and Indian Jodhavir. Day 10, after spending 2 days in Goa, take an evening flight out to the royal city of Udaipur. You will have to fly via Mumbai to reach Udaipur. Spend the evening overlooking the gorgeous Lake Pichola from your resort. Spend 2 days in Udaipur, moving around the city, which has sumptuous luxuries and one of the best food scenes in India. On your 12th day, day 12, take a flight to Varanasi. You will have to hop via Delhi again, but it's a short flight from Delhi. You'll be welcome to the oldest Indian city and the one which is a gateway to heaven in Hinduism. Spend your time visiting the various ghats along the Ganges. There are sections cut on the riverbanks where the different things happen on every ghat. They are bursting with humanity. Visit Sarnath, a place where Buddha preached Dhamma to the world. And enjoy another city which has got food par excellence. spend 2 days there, and on day 14th, fly back into Delhi to get your connecting flight back home. I think in these 14 days, you are not too hustled into one place or the other. You give enough time to one. You're also dipping into almost all kinds of things that India could give you, from wildlife and beaches to mountains, food, as well as wellness. I hope that's a good itinerary.
Right. So if one does not want to go by a specific theme or interest, this mm-hmm. itinerary does make sense for people who want to have a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sudeep, with 1.3 billion people in a country, how safe is it to travel to India?
India is a very safe place. Tourists are a good 10% of our GDP. So people are very warm and welcoming, and tourism is a big thing for us. Our system, the police, tourist places, hotels, information are very accommodative and helpful to tourists. Our country doesn't have a gun culture, and being multi-ethnic, there's a lot of tolerance and easygoing in day-to-day life. Now, as you said, it's a populous country with very young people who look at people with fair skin very inquisitively. So you'll find people asking a lot of questions or passing suggestions and taking a selfie. If you are uncomfortable, be polite and say no. There is some bit of begging on the streets too, and they especially vex a foreign traveler. Seek local help from people if someone is too persistent. And in my mind, these are the two most vexatious issues. And these aren't from a safety perspective, it's just about nuisance and ease. Beyond that, it's safe to travel around, stay, eat anywhere and at all times possible, and talking to people. You should apply the norms of how you would be at home. For example, not traveling alone in a dark, dingy alley at night, and you are all good. I'll make a point about public dressing, which is outside of your hotel or beaches and maybe in the state of Goa. Dress a bit modestly and nothing flashy. Shorts, half-sleeve t-shirts are all good for men and women. If you are getting into a religious place, cover your head and stow away your footwear. That's all I would say from a safety perspective, Oma.
Right. But then how much time does one need to plan for traveling in India?
At least a week at the minimum, else you'll be rushing to places and still leave dissatisfied, not knowing what did you see and how much. 2 weeks is a good option for a first level immersion, as I said in my 2 week itinerary earlier. But if you really want to find a holistic experience, stop and see a month is a good thing. India seems very different, Homa, when you have a month compared to when you have 2 weeks.
Right.
The country is pretty inexpensive. It routinely is in the top 10 list from a perspective of being inexpensive and what a dollar can buy. So longest stays in India don't pinch your pocket at all. And as I said earlier, there are 6 distinct themes. So you can go between one theme or the other. You could dabble into a theme very deeply and maybe come back as a wildlife specialist from India, you know. So
yeah. Or you could combine... You can combine two themes, or you know, depending on what you like.
Right.
So, but then how to travel within India, given that it's such a huge country?
For most travelers, and especially first-time travelers, Delhi will be your flying hub. The country has a fantastic air network with budget and full-service online services across the length and breadth. The country also has second largest rail network in the world, and train travel in India is extremely cheap compared to Western and even Asian standards. The road network in India is also pretty awesome across the country, barring some portions in the northeast states which are still being worked upon. Though our public road transport is very basic and pretty crowded, okay? So that's something I would not recommend. Now, depending on your itinerary, the most common way to travel would be a combination of flying in and traveling by road. How do you do that? I would say the best way to negotiate all the planning would be to consult a travel planner. Tell them how much time you have, what all do you want to cover, and then let them plan it as per your budget. Once you are satisfied, let them book and manage your flights, your trains or your roads, as well as stays and all sundry things. They will make the best choices on how and when to do you travel in a trip, and that would be great.
Agree. So what you said about public transport is quite correct. It's not easy for anybody who's coming from outside for the first time. However, if you have budget and can afford luxuries, then luxury trains are a great way to see India. Yeah. And even the normal trains, one has to do minimum AC, to be more comfortable.
Yeah, I was coming to that. I had a few tips in mind, but if talking about trains here, I would suggest that one should travel always in what's called the AC class or air conditioned class in India. Don't go below that. Otherwise, it might be not very comfortable.
And yeah, on road, it is preferred that people do cars. So now, what is the visa requirement for India travel, given that that's the first thing one has to take care of?
Yeah, like any other country, you need a valid passport, a valid visa, and onward return ticket to come to India. Your passport needs to be valid for at least 180 days after your entry into India and should have at least 2 blank pages to stamp a visa. However, the important thing to note is that India provides e-visa to 156 countries and their nationals. So it means literally anybody in the world can come to India by applying online and getting an e-visa. It's fairly easily obtainable through a website run by the Indian government, indianvisaonline.gov.in. And the most common issue is a double entry tourist visa to India with a 4-month window to make your first entry, which is more than adequate for anybody else. So what basically means is India is open to everybody to come and travel.
Yeah, now things would have changed post-pandemic because of additional requirements. So how do you think traveling in India will now change after the pandemic is over?
Well, we traveled last year within the pandemic breaks, right? So, and I've seen this, that the country has become a lot more hygiene conscious. We took initiatives to make our places cleaner and maintain social distancing. We became more amenable to queues and adhering to laid out rules for sanity and precaution. Because of this, a lot of services became digital and much more frequent, like more food delivery options, more options on Airbnb in various places. Tourism went beyond the known places thanks to digital access and social media. I think these are good things for a traveler, and I believe they will stay once the pandemic is over. So I think this will be a much more beautiful and cleaner country for people to visit once the pandemic gets done.
Yeah, I'm pretty hopeful and keeping my fingers crossed.
Me too.
Sudeep, now we can get to our Cut the Clutter section where we come up with ready answers for, you know, people who want to travel. Some basic questions like when to go, where to stay, where to eat, how to move around, and the travel tips.
Yep, so let's get started. When to go? October to mid-March is the best time to visit India, unless you are traveling to Kashmir and Ladakh, the northernmost part of India, in which case June to August is best. India is huge and there's a region for every season though. High season in India being October to December in most places. July, August is the monsoon season when the country is drenched in beautiful rains. It's the low season and very attractive traffic, tariffs and hardly any crowd. Where to stay? Next. The country has a huge spectrum to offer. A lot of backpacking and hostels. A good lot of upper segment luxury chains of international standard resorts. And a plethora of 4-star and above rated indigenous properties. We also have amazing variety of local and delightful homes to check at Airbnb. And all this is true for every location, be it a far-flung Srinagar in Kashmir, to the main state Delhi, or to the crowded Varanasi. Now, one thing to keep in mind is if you're very particular about hygiene and sanitation and do not want to compromise at all, then look for 4-star rated properties or boutique properties. Yeah, boutique properties which are well maintained, and ask your travel planner for the same.
And you should check the reviews.
Yes.
On TripAdvisor.
Yes.
We would suggest that.
Yeah.
The real travelers.
Now, eating and food. I would say first on drinking water. Always drink bottled water. And in places, if you're traveling for adventure and you can't find that, drink boiled water. Never drink out of a tap. For the first few days of your arrival, try sticking to food at your hotel and ask them to cook least spicy so that you can test and tune how much spices you can handle. If least spicy is okay for you, then check moderate spicy. Assess and check if you're able to handle it, and do all this for the first few days so that you are sure of what you can handle, because then you start traveling. Once you have acclimatized and would want to explore out, then most Indian places have a terrific food scene, including street food. Delhi, Jaipur, Lucknow, Amritsar, Varanasi, Calcutta have street food to die for. Check for hygiene and freshness of the food before you stop somewhere to order. My thumb rule has been to look for a place where most people are going, I think, which is a proxy for fresh food being served, and then assess how neat and clean it looks before I go and sit down. I think I've spoken a lot about how to move around. India has a fantastic network of air, plane, and road, so I'll skip that. I'll come to what to wear. And that is casual clothing adapted to local weather would be my advice. For example, men can be as free as they can in tees and shorts and shoes, sandals. Same goes for women. Cover yourself up if you are in a crowded place or a religious place or traveling through public transport. Don't try Indian ethnic wear if you're uncomfortable in that. There is no need to look local. The sun is harsh even in winter, so caps and sunglasses are always around. As I said, cover your head and remove your footwear if you're visiting a religious place. Beach wear is only for beaches and swimming pool. Inner wear is not optional. And I would say, beyond all this, if there would be a few travel tips I could give, they would be the following. Be sure to pack Indian travel adapters, plug points and sockets, because we have a different system compared to what we have in Europe or US. As you move around in India, you'll find that your mobile is a lot more helpful, and the apps from Maps to Uber to food delivery to Airbnb. So instead of using your overseas SIM that you have, come into India and buy a local India SIM. It gives you a good amount of data and it gives you a lot of local calls that you can make. That's much more cheaper. Number three, check your credit card and ATM cards for transaction fees. If they have transaction fees, then you should be using them for bulk purchases. With respect to money, I would say exchange money at the airports when you're traveling. You get best rates, and also I think you exchange with a person and can ask for smaller denominations when exchanging and not get those big bills. In large cities, you are fairly good through your mobile and apps, and you have a lot of options of using Airbnbs and Uber. So keep your phone handy. As I said, check for hygiene before you eat. Use TripAdvisor, not just to look at hotel ratings, but also to look at restaurants and their ratings before you choose where your next meal would be. Mobile apps are a fantastic way to figure out where to go then and where to eat. Carry hand sanitizers, wet wipes and toilet paper.
You may not find toilet paper everywhere. You may not even find proper urinals while traveling in many places. So
yes,
for women, I would suggest things like Peabody.
Yeah, you're right. And when traveling, I would just like make a point about trains. Indian trains are very affordable. Basis of itinerary, it may be that an overnight train is cheaper than a hotel stay, and you would get a good night's sleep as well. But as I said, always book AC class or above. We have a very good network of airports across the country. Most places have a budget airline too, so air travel also is pretty affordable. More affordable if you can plan out 2-3 months in time as you make your trip. Now, language is not a barrier. Most tourist places, folks understand English and can revert back in broken English too.
Sign language works everywhere.
Most places in India will have English signages with addition to a vernacular language. And most tourist places have plenty of English signages and information boards and pamphlets to go by. Water, as I said, drink water only bottled. Drinking alcohol, not an issue at all, but you can't carry or drink like you do in Vegas. And you also can't drink and smoke in public places. I would say go beyond the big cities. Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore should be your entry hubs. The magic of India lies outside those, in the small towns like Manali or Udaipur or jungles of Bandhavgarh or the beaches of Goa and Andamans. If your plan has too much time in big cities, then it is not a good plan.
Agree.
And lastly, learn how to eat with your hands. That's what Indians do. The food is made that way, that folks don't work that much. It's the proper way to eat in India, and folks actually get you a warm water hand wash at your table after done with eating with your fingers. It feels pretty amazing. So go for it.
No, this would be in very fine dine places, not everywhere, of course.
But
you can try it out.
Try it out. So I would say these are things that come to my mind. I don't think anything else is left, or anything else which is left would be very, very small and rare. So I think that's okay. This is what I will say about traveling around in Cut the Clutter.
Thank you. Thank you, Sudeep. That brings us to the end of this podcast episode. Thank you, listeners, for your patience. If you have any more India travel related questions, you are most welcome to get in touch with us at contact@traveljohns.in, or you can WhatsApp us at 9611129338. Stay tuned for our next podcast episode on spiritual tourism in India. Till then, ciao.